wide path leads to destruction, and lots of people will walk on it. But the road that leads to life is narrow, and only a few will find it. Let the people who listen to this walk on the narrow road and find God in their hearts. Amen.
Welcome. You're listening to One Way Radio Network, sponsored by Legacy Educational Institute, which is a 501c3 nonprofit. And your host today, my name is David Gallner. I'm the founder and CEO of this nonprofit, Legacy Educational Institute. So where are we located? And you may say, well, does it really matter where you're located? Well, for some of you, it may not, but for some of you, it definitely makes a difference because you're going to probably want to stop by and get some of these resources which are provided by God to be able to help fulfill the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19-20, and Acts 1:8. So definitely for many of you, it's important where we're located. So Legacy Education Institute, we started this radio show about 6, 7, 8 years ago, something like that. We formed this nonprofit, I think 16 years ago, called Legacy Educational Institute. And the reason we call it One Way Radio Network is because why? There's only one way to heaven. Not 10 ways, not 50 ways, one way. And we're going to talk about, on this segment, where do you go when you die? Do you say, well, I hope to go to heaven. I hope this. I hope that. No, you don't want to hope so. You want to know so. So Legacy Educational Institute is located at 3087 Innovation Way, Hermitage, PA 16148, and a development called Linden Point. Now, where is Linden Point? Well, if you're coming from, say, up by Staples, heading south on Route 18, you'll pass Staples, which is on the left on Route 18. Go past Staples. The next traffic light after Staples, then guess what? Turn left. It'll say Innovation Way. We're the fourth building on the left. Catacorner from Butler County Community College, known as BC3. And there's a big stone wall that says Linden Point. L-I-N-D-E-N Point. Fourth building on the left. Actually, it's about 1,450 feet, approximately a quarter of a mile. How do I know that? I was coming back from an area, and I happen to have it in a GPS coming the other direction. If you're coming from, say, West Middlesex, you're heading north, you'll pass Tamashiner Golf Course, and then you'll pass FedEx on the left. Next traffic light, you'll see Sheets on the right, Combine's Restaurant on the left. Next traffic light, turn right. Anyway, coming back off 80 there, and I did forgot to take my GPS off, and it says turn right on Presidential Boulevard. Well, unless you're from this area, it doesn't say Presidential. It used to be that many years ago. So you don't turn right on Presidential, you turn right on Linden Point. Stonewall says Linden Point. But anyway, it said one time it said 1450, the other time it said a quarter of a mile. So there's 5,200 square feet, so it's about a quarter of a mile. Some people mentioned that our office is near the highway. No, it's not near the highway. It's about 2.25 miles from Route 80. So we have people from Youngstown coming from Belmont. You head obviously east on Route 80, get off your 80 from Belmont and get off the exit 4B in Pennsylvania, head north. And if you're coming from Warren, just take 82, put it in the GPS, and you'll find it. But easiest way, if you're driving, you're not going to remember this, just remember the website. Well, how can I remember the website? Very simple. OneWayToHeaven.com. Not .org, but .com. OneWayToHeaven.com. OneWayToHeaven.com. If you'd like to call us, Our phone number is 724-983-1617. 724-983-1617. Toll free number is 800-264-4963. And I'll give you my cell number. It's not a track phone. You can text me at this number as well. 724-699-3789. 724-699-3789. Okay, so we'll talk about these resources when we come back from the break. So where to go when you die? Well, first of all, the Bible, I talk about this every week. A man's appointed once to die, not 10 times, not like reincarnation, like I used to believe. You should come back as a person, until not as a dog or cat. So who got it right? David Gomer. So basically, folks, I was my own God. No, you get one shot. Man's once to die. Hebrews 9:27. It's either heaven or hell. So where do you go when you die? The Bible is absolutely clear. There's only two options for you to go when you die. Heaven or hell. God wants all to come to repentance. He didn't want any should perish. Many people were called, but few were chosen. Because God's foreknows who's going to go to heaven, and the rest are going to go to hell. Not because God wants that. He wants everybody to go to heaven. It's because of your choice. He stands at the door and knocks. God Almighty, who created us, knocks. He'll open that door if we humble, repent, believe, receive, and become. So the Bible also teaches that you can determine where you go when you die. Oh, you can't do it. Yes, you can. How? Well, first, the problem. What's the problem? We have sinned. All have sinned and fall short glory of God. Where did I get that? From Romans 3, chapter 3, verse 23. The Bible is very clear. There's none righteous. No, not one. Romans 3:10. Compared to a righteous holy God, you and I are filthy rags. I always say we're a scumbag. So we have to do what? We have all done things that are wrong. All. Evil. Or immoral. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 20. Our sin does what? Separates us from God. And if left unresolved, your sin, my sin, will result in our being eternally separated from God. Worst thing that could happen, folks. You got to have doubt. You got to know where you're spending eternity. You don't want to hope so. You want to know so. So Matthew chapter 25 and 46 and Romans chapter 6, verse 23. The eternal separation from God is what? Hell. Yes, I said hell. Described in the Bible as the eternal lake of fire. Revelation chapter 20. 14 and 15, Jesus preached more on hell than he did heaven. He preached more on the kingdom than heaven and hell. Now the solution. God became what? A human being in the person of Jesus Christ. That's deity. Hypostatic union. So the first step is humble. James 4:10. Humble yourself before the Lord and he'll lift you up. Those who humble themselves will be exalted. Those who exalt themselves will be humble. Then repent. That's that godly sorrow. 2 Corinthians 7:10. Then believe what? Jesus Christ is the God, deity, hypostatic union, fully God, fully man, because a lot of cults believe he's a God, not the God. Then receive and then become. And of course, Jesus lives what? A sinless life. Yes, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22, and 1 John chapter 3 and 5, and willingly sacrifice his life for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 13, and 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. His death did what? Jesus' death paid what? The penalty for our sins. God now offers us salvation and forgiveness as a what? Gift. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. That we must receive by how? Works? No, faith. By faith, a forgiveness of gift that we must receive by faith. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Acts chapter 16, verse 31. Trust in Jesus, not me, Jesus, as Savior. Rely on the sacrifice alone as the payment for our sins. And the Word of God promises you what? Eternal life. We're talking about forever and ever and ever. You will not get to heaven because you're a good old gal, a good old boy. So where do you go when you die? Well, it's up to you. He knocks. Question is, will you open the door? God offers you the choice. God invites you to come to Him. It's your call, my call. If you feel God drawing you to faith in Christ, John chapter 6, verse 44, come to the Savior. If God is lifting the veil and removing your spiritual blindness right at this moment, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, look to the Savior. If you experience a spark of life and what He has always been dead, come to life through what? The Savior. Where do you go when you die? Heaven or hell? Through Jesus Christ. Hell is avoidable if you what? Humble, repent, believe, receive, and become. Receive what? Jesus Christ as your Savior, and heaven will be your eternal destination. Make any other decision, an eternal separation from God in hell, it will be the result because of your choice. And if you understand the two possibilities of where you will go when you die, you want to trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's time to call God for salvation. Most important decision you could make. You don't want to hope so. You want to know so. As an act of faith, pray something like this. God, I know that I'm a sinner. And I know that because of my sin, I deserve to be eternally separated from You. Even though I do not deserve it, thank You. Thank You, Jesus, for loving me and providing a sacrifice for my sins through the death and resurrection of You, Almighty Jesus Christ. I believe that Jesus died for my sins, and I trust in Him alone to save me. From this point forward, help me to live my life for You, Jesus Christ, instead of for me. Thank You, Jesus, for saving me. If you said that prayer or something like that, we'd like to hear from you. Call us at 724-699-3789 or visit us on our website, onewaytoheaven.com. You listen to the One Way Radio Network. I want you to listen to a very important message, and we've got some more good information to talk about. Anytime we're talking about the Bible and God, and we're going to spend eternity, because we're talking about forever and ever, the most important topic you could possibly talk about.
Retired or planning to retire soon? Do you want to save money by paying less on your taxes? Then let the experts at Legacy Financial show you how by visiting LegacyTaxBill.com right now. Use Legacy's Tax Bill Calculator. Fill in the value of your IRA, 401k, and other qualified plans. Retirement is something you've worked your whole life for, so don't let the IRS take that away. Go to LegacyTaxBill.com. Go to LegacyTaxBill.com to schedule your free consultation.
Welcome back. This is the One Way Radio Network, sponsored by Legacy Educational Institute. Your host today, my name is David Gallner. I'm the founder and CEO of this nonprofit called Legacy Educational Institute, which is a 501c3. We're located at 3087 Innovation Way, Hermes PA 16148, in a development called Linden Point. We're the fourth building on the left, catty corner from Butler County Community College, known as BC3. Our website is onewaytoheaven.com. onewaytoheaven.com. We're going to talk about some of these resources here in a minute. We post our shows, our past radio shows. You can listen there. Go to onewaytoheaven.com. If you'd like to call me, have a conversation, you'd like us to pray for you, whatever you need, call this number, 724-983-1617. If they answer Legacy Financial Strategies or Innovation Tax Service, it's the same location. In fact, when you pull in the driveway, we're the fourth building on the left, catty corner from Butler County Community College. You'll see Legacy Financial Strategies, Innovation Tax Services, and Legacy Education too. Doesn't matter which door you come in. We're going to talk about these resources. And by the way, we do have another radio show on Saturday, the same station, 790 AM, but it airs on Saturday morning from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. That one's an hour long. And that's called the Dave and Sherry Show, where we talk financial planning, estate planning, tax planning, wealth planning, you name the investments or savings. We have a variety of different strategies. And that's called the Legacy Financial Strategies Radio Network. And that website, if you'd like to check us out, is legacyfinancialservice.com, legacyfinancialservice.com. But here's some of these resources we have. I'm only going to mention a few of them. We have a lot more than that. There's no charge. If you can't make it, though, please give us a call. We'll mail them and pay shipping and handling. We have A Case for Christ by Lee Strobel, the condensed version. Biblical Answers About Heaven by Randy Elkhorn. You get goosebumps when you read that. It's not his 492-page book, but it's a little short booklet, about 45 pages, half the size, about 8.5 by 11. Then from Evangelion Explosion, two question marks. When you die, where will you spend eternity? Or you want those individuals say, well, you know what? Well, I hope to be in heaven. You know, you don't want to hope so, you want to know so. And then the other question mark from Van Explosion, if you say heaven, why should God let you in? John 3:3, Jesus said, God Almighty Deity says what? You must be born again to see the kingdom of God. And then we have the $1 trillion bill and the $1 million bill. You say, what are you talking about, Bill? I mean, these are real bills you can spend? No, they're worth more than the $1 million or $1 trillion. It has a picture of Abraham Lincoln, Benjamin Franklin, but it's not what's on the front of the bill. It looks real, though. People won't throw those away. It's on the backside. It talks about the Ten Commandments. Have you broken any of those commandments? Well, most of us, not only have broken them, but we've broken them more than once. And it has the gospel message. And, of course, we don't do the convicting, the convincing, the converting, or the saving. Our job is to share the good news. The Holy Spirit's job does what? The convincing, the convicting, the converting, and the saving. Get some of those resources. Read them yourself. And then say, pass them on to someone else. And say, what? I've read these. Would you do me a favor? What's that? Would you read these? Because I value your opinion. Then pray for that individual. And then call and get more. Very simple. How to help fulfill that great commission. Matthew 28:19-20. And Acts 1:8. So on this topic, we're going to talk about what is the meaning you've heard, if you are a believer, by the way, if you humble, repent, believe, receive, and become. What is the meaning where it says two or three are gathered in my name? That's in Matthew 18:20. So what is that referring to in my name? Is that having church? What does that mean? Well, it's often used to give legitimacy to a small prayer meeting. By the way, once you said the prayer, you want to get plugged in the Bible base, Christ Center, family-oriented church, start reading your Bible prayer, fellowship, because you never arrive. You still have old nature, but you have new nature. So again, in Matthew 18:20, as I said, it's often used to the legitimacy of small prayer meeting. Besides church, you need to get into small groups. The pastor might say something like this, you might have heard if you've gone to church before. There are just a few of us here tonight, but we're glad we don't have to have a huge crowd for God to listen to us. After all, Jesus promises what? You've heard him say this, or where two or more gather together in my name, I am there. It sounds comforting until it's analyzed and taken to logical conclusion. What's in the conclusion? What if there are not two? What if there's only one who is praying in the isolation? Ugh. Does that mean Jesus is not there? He's omnipresent. He's omniscient, omnipotent, and he's omnibenevolent. If the answer is no, that raises a question. What does Matthew 18:20 really mean? Where two or three are gathered together. What does that really mean? Does that mean what a lot of people think it means? So let's look at the context. Remember, you can't take a text out of a context and create a pretext. You must examine every verse on this subject and come up with a valid conclusion regarding doctrine. So the Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 and 20, together as one paragraph. The paragraph divisions, of course, are not an inspired part of the text as the originals were written, you know, without any spaces. However, and the paragraph division is based on the content of the passage and seems to be right on target in this case. So Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 17, tells us how to deal with sin in the church. It's a passage in which is commonly called church discipline. If your brother or sister sins, goes and point out their fault just between, how many? The two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. And if they still refuse to listen, tell to the church. And if they refuse to listen, even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. And then in verse 18, in Matthew chapter 18, then gives the assurance that when this process is followed, God is working in it, and he says, truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And then verses 19 and 20 gives the final assurance again, truly I tell you, if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heavens. For those two or three gathered in my name, there I am with you also. So again, what does that mean? What does that mean? Well, let's go a little further down in the passage. Jesus cites the Old Testament law that said accusation from a single individual is insufficient to bring action in a criminal case. However, when two or three witnesses are sufficient to establish a matter, the law in Deuteronomy, the Pentateuch, regulated the human court, Jesus applies to this heavenly court. When erring brother or sister in church is confronted by two or three witnesses and refuses to what? Repent, change direction. These witnesses in church do what? Bring this matter before the church. Jesus assures us that when that happens, it's just not the witnesses that are bringing action against the wrongdoer, but he is there with them. Church discipline is sanctioned by both the Father and Son. It's important because we live in an age, unfortunately, when it's not fashionable to confront or judge. You can't judge anybody. That's not what the Bible says. Righteous judgment. Take the plank out of your own eye. Righteous as we are. You're supposed to hate evil, love good. Woe say evil is good and good is evil. Those who do step forward to call us out in sin, the church can take heart in the fact that they are not acting alone. And Christ is with them for a while. How long? Endeavor. That's right, forever. The process of church discipline calls for how many again? Two or three, and this seems to be the best application for this verse. The two or three who are gathered in Jesus' name are not coming together in prayer meeting or to worship service, but a matter of what? Church discipline. The two or three witnesses have confronted the sinner in a spirit of humility. You can check out Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. And the sinner has not repented, you know, change of heart, that's that godly sorrow. So the two or three take the matter to the Lord in prayer and then confidently move forward with the process outlined in the scripture. Knowing that they are not being bullied or busybodies, for God endorses their efforts. Jesus is what? With them. With them. So that's what the verse is saying. They're talking about church discipline, not what we most people allude to. So here's my question to you. Has there been a place and time where you've humbled, repented, believed, received, and become? I hope there is. I pray there is. But if not, behold, today is the day of salvation. Behold, the day of salvation. He's stands in the door, knock. He will open the door if you humble, repent, believe, receive, and become. Call us if you'd like to have some of these resources at 724-983-1617. Go to our website, onewaytoheaven.com. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you next week. And remember this, it's the day the Lord made. Rejoice and be glad in it.
Does not a son know the father's heart? Does not a bride know her husband's eyes? And don't best friends tell each other secrets? Oh, this is why I